What's the deadline for a potential Jets trade for Derek Carr? Who are the best and worst Jets offensive coordinator candidates? And what should the Jets do in the NFL draft this year? We'll discuss all this and more on today's mailbag edition of the Locked On Jets podcast.
You are Locked On Jets, your daily New York Jets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome. This is the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. It's Wednesday, January 25th, 11 months until Christmas, 2023, and I'm your host, John B. from GangreneNation.com, thanking you for making the show your first listen or first watch every day. This podcast is free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. If you like what you see or hear, hit the subscribe button so that you'll never miss an episode. If you're listening on a podcast source, please give the show a five-star review. If you're watching on YouTube, please give this episode a big thumbs up. These things help the channel out and help other Jets fans find the podcast. Today's episode of Locked On Jets is brought to you by Ultimate Football GM. Have you ever dreamed of becoming an NFL GM and managing your football franchise? Then this game is definitely for you. To download the game, just visit ultimate-gm.com or look it up on the app stores. Our listeners get a 100% free boost to their franchise when using promo code LOCKEDON, all caps, in the game. Well, today we have our weekly mailbag show, thanks to everybody who sent in questions. And we begin with a question about Raiders quarterback Derek Carr, who is going to be leaving the Raiders. It could either be through a trade or it could be a situation where the Raiders just cut him, and the Raiders have set an unofficial deadline of February 15th, and that's actually what the question is about. John, there seems to be a major impediment in the way of a trade for Derek Carr. The Raiders owe him a huge payment on February 15th, and his contract becomes guaranteed if he's on the roster then. However, there are no trades allowed until the start of the next NFL season on March 15th. According to Sports Illustrated and USA Today, the Raiders will cut him by February 15th if they don't trade him by then. But they can't trade him by then, because they can only officially trade him after the new league year begins in March. So can you bring any clarity to this conundrum? I can only think that there will be no trade of Derek Carr. So, yeah, I've looked into this, and this is what I believe the situation is. It's a really good question. So Carr has a lot of money that becomes guaranteed if he's on the Raiders on February 15th. That is true. The new league year begins March 15th, so even though teams can work out a trade, and this happened last year, it's happened a lot in the NFL. Last year it happened with Matthew Stafford, where the Rams and Lions agreed to terms of the trade, but the trade did not become official until the new league year began in March. Now, there's nothing stopping these teams from negotiating a trade. It just means they cannot execute the trade officially until the new league year begins. So for Carr, what I looked into, and this is what I believe the situation is that he has a lot of money that becomes guaranteed if he's on the Raiders on February 15th. But from what I could see, that money appears to be what's known as base salary. And what base salary is in the NFL, it's salary. Essentially, the player gets paid a paycheck after every game during the season. So the money would be guaranteed, but the team he's on would need to pay him that money. So the money's guaranteed, but it doesn't necessarily mean that the Raiders have to pay him. If he's traded before the next season begins, whatever team he's on takes on that contract, and that team then owes him the guaranteed money. So maybe this helps explain it a little bit, because essentially what the Raiders want to make sure is they want to make sure there's a team that's willing to take him on in a trade. Because again, right now you can negotiate a deal if you want. If the Jets and Raiders or the Raiders and anybody else wanted to work out a trade for Derek Carr, they could do it. It's just it could not become official until March. But once March comes and Derek Carr gets traded, the team he's traded to then is responsible for the guaranteed money. So I think that helps explain why the Raiders are doing this, because there's nothing wrong with asking around right now. You're either going to know, I mean, you can pretty much set an internal deadline. You know, February 15th is still a few weeks away. So in the next couple of weeks, you can figure out whether somebody's actually going to want to trade for him. And if they are, then you can wait and you can deal him on March 15th. But if nobody's going to want to deal for him, then you cut him. And the reason that you cut him is you avoid that money from being guaranteed. Because if nobody wants to trade for him and that guaranteed money kicks in, well, he's going to be on your team and you're going to have to pay it to him. And the Raiders don't want to pay him that money. So I think that helps explain the discrepancy. it's, and there are, you know, there are other situations where it's a little bit different than this. I mean, there could be a situation where a player has what's known as a roster bonus that would be due on February 15th. And if it was a roster bonus for Derek Carr, then the Raiders would have to pay it if he was on the team. Then there'd be no way to make this happen. Now, here's the thing with Derek Carr, though. He has a no-trade clause. And that means that he can essentially veto any trade unless he's happy with it. So my guess, based on the way these things work, is that he's probably only going to accept a trade if the team gives him a new contract. So for the team that's you know, trading for Derek Carr, it's kind of a moot point because you're going to have to give him a new contract worth more than this guaranteed money anyway, or he's not going to take the deal. Now, another thing to watch is the offseason could begin a little bit early this year because free agency for players with expiring contracts begins on March 15th. And that's so, like, if you're a guy in the last year of your contract, if you're like a George Fant or a Connor McGovern, your contract technically expires at the end of the old league year, March 15th. So you can't negotiate with a team until then because you're still under contract. Now, the NFL has the legal tampering period now, so you can negotiate a few days early, but those guys cannot negotiate. Players who are unsigned by a team, however, can negotiate whenever they want. So what could happen is if Derek Carr is actually cut, he's a free agent. He can sign with anybody the day he's cut. So he gets cut loose in February. He's out there. He's available. So this could get actually very interesting if the Raiders do indeed cut Derek Carr. And you know, the question is whether he's going to want to accept a trade or whether he's not. You know, there's questions about whether there's bad blood between him and the Raiders. There's questions about whether, you know, whether a team's going to trade for him, because the other aspect of this is there might be a couple teams out there saying, well, why would I give up a pick to the Raiders when this guy's going to be cut anyway? Everybody knows they got to cut him if nobody works out a trade. So there are lots of interesting angles to this, but I think that explains why it's March 15th, because the money's guaranteed, but it's not necessarily guaranteed the Raiders need to pay it. It's only guaranteed to whatever team he's on. So they can still trade him before the start of the season, which they'll obviously do if they can. And that's where that essentially, I think, explains why the things are as they are. Even though the Raiders can't technically trade him until March 15th, they can work out a trade because it doesn't matter if he's on the roster. The only thing that matters about him being on the roster February 15th is that the money eventually becomes guaranteed. It doesn't become guaranteed that day, though. Our next question, who are your favorite and least favorite offensive coordinator candidates of those the Jets have interviewed? Now, I will say this. I've been saying it frequently. I think that the quarterback the Jets get is more important than the offensive coordinator. I think that will prove to be the case. So with that caveat, and the other caveat is the Jets have interviewed so many guys without much experience. So it's a little tough to judge these guys because you're really making projections. The guy that I like the best of everybody I've heard about is Brian Johnson, who's an assistant coach with the Eagles. Actually, if you go back far enough, he was a quarterback at the University of Utah during an undefeated season they had back in 2008, and he actually led them to a victory in the Sugar Bowl over Nick Saban in Alabama. But he's gone on to have a coaching career where he's been pretty successful. He was the quarterback's coach at Mississippi State when Dak Prescott was there. He went to Florida, you know, ran an offense with Kyle Trask and Kyle Pitts a few years back, and went to Philadelphia. And, you know, he's worked a lot with Jalen Hurts. And listen, there are a million people who are probably going to try and take credit for the way Jalen Hurts has developed, but I think you have to be impressed with the work Brian Johnson's done. I think he's been exposed to new school things, spread offenses, but he's also been exposed to conventional pro offense philosophy. So I just think there's a lot that's interesting to me about Brian Johnson. It's it's a projection because he's never been an offensive coordinator on the NFL level. It's tricky. Least favorite, I think I'd have to go Nathaniel Hackett. I still can't figure out how the Jets, you know, listen, I can understand how the Jets would look at Mike LaFleur and say this offense wasn't good enough. What I don't understand is how you can then turn around and be interested in one of the few people who ran an offense that was worse than the Jets, and he had Russell Wilson. And say what you will about Russell Wilson right now, he's better than Zach Wilson. And it goes beyond this. I mean, I think Nathaniel Hackett, you know, yeah, fine, you can put to the Green Bay numbers. He had Aaron Rodgers. I feel like this is going back to like the Adam Gase, Peyton Manning thing, where Gase got all this credit for stuff that happened when Peyton Manning was a quarterback, and anybody would look good with Peyton Manning as your quarterback. I think the same thing with Aaron Rodgers, or at least a prime Aaron Rodgers, is the case. And I think before that, I'm not impressed by the work he did in Jacksonville. I'm not that impressed by the work he did in Buffalo. it's not about his father. I mean, his father was Paul Hackett, who was one of the worst Jets offensive coordinators of all time. And Jets have had some bad coordinators, not many worse than Paul Hackett. That's not it. It's just the work, the body of work's been very unimpressive. So Nathaniel Hackett would be my least favorite. In fact, of all these candidates, I'm pretty much all of them, I'm just like, yeah, well, I guess we'll see. Nathaniel Hackett's the one candidate out there that I would kind of have an issue with if the Jets hired him. Now, ahead here on the Locked On Jets podcast, we are going to continue our Wednesday mailbag show. We have a lot more to talk about, including what the Jets should do when they are on the clock in the NFL draft. I'll give you some early thoughts. We're still a couple months away from the draft, but I still can give you some thoughts on what I think they should do. That's as we continue this Wednesday mailbag edition of the Locked On Jets podcast. Today's episode of Locked On Jets is brought to you by Ultimate Football GM. You've been hearing me talk about this mobile game app, and now it's your turn to compete, but more on that later. Have you ever dreamed of becoming an NFL GM and managing your football franchise? Well, your dream can come true, and this game's definitely for you then, because you'll manage every strategic aspect of your team, play through seasons, and lead your team to glory, trying to build a dynasty. With Ultimate Football GM, you're responsible for controlling the destiny of your franchise by hiring the right coaches and coordinators, trading players, and navigating your franchise through free agency and the draft, and all the ups and downs of a season. All this comes in a challenging and realistic game world. Ultimate Football GM is completely free and playable offline. You can play on the go as you want and when you want to. And we've created a Locked On League for you to compete against other Locked On fans all over the world. Can you be the ultimate Locked On Football GM? Choose the Locked On League in the app to join. Can you create a football dynasty? And Locked On Jets listeners get a 100% free boost to their franchise when using promo code Locked On, all caps, in the game store. Again, that's Locked On in all caps, so make sure to check it out today. To download the game, just visit ultimate-gm.com or look it up on the app stores. That's ultimate-gm.com. Ultimate Football GM, start your fantasy today. Thank you again for making Locked On Jets your first listen or first watch every day. This podcast is free and available on all platforms. We continue with our weekly mailbag show. Our next question, who is your ideal Jets pick at 13 right now? Well, it's a tough question to answer because we're still at the beginning of the process. You know, we still have the Senior Bowl to go. We still have the Combine. We still have Pro Days. And it's still early enough that I really haven't done that much homework that I feel comfortable giving you the pick that I'd make at this point. As we get closer to the draft, I'll probably have better thoughts on this. But the one thing I'll say is that I don't agree with the idea that the Jets should target a specific position this year. Just this week, Mel Kiper came out with a mock draft that was kind of surprising to some people because he picked Jaxon Smith-Njigba, who's a wide receiver at Ohio State. And he even kind of defended it. He was kind of defensive with the pick because he mentioned, oh, I know I'm giving the Jets an Ohio State receiver the second straight year. I always say this with the draft. I think there are some years where you kind of have to target a certain position, but those should be the exception. It's always best when you're flexible and you kind of let the board come to you because ultimately it's not about, you know, this specific position in most cases. Of course, when quarterback comes into play, that's different, but it's about finding impact players. And I go back to what happened a year ago, how many people were upset back when the Jets drafted Sauce Gardner fourth overall because the perception was that the Jets had bigger needs at the time. And people said, well, they should have drafted tackle. Well, none of the tackles they drafted really would have been as good as Sauce Gardner. And at the time, people were saying, well, we'd signed DJ Reed in free agency. We still have Bryce Hall, who had a decent year. We still have Brandon Echols, who's a growing, developing player. Why did we draft Sauce Gardner? And then I think you saw what happened. There's a difference between a position not being a weakness and a position being an overwhelming strength. And at the corner position, the Jets really built an overwhelming strength. And on yesterday's show, I talked about some of the needs that the Jets had. And the first thing I mentioned, I feel like they need another playmaker on offense. You know, you can never have too many playmakers on offense. And even with Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall, I think the Jets should try and keep adding because that's the way you build it into a dominant unit. And the defense is very good, but on the offensive side of the ball, I still think the Jets need an awful lot of work done. In fact, the only position I would rule out, ironically, is the one I just mentioned, corner. Because I don't think the Jets can make their corner position better. I think their corner position's already dominant. But everywhere else, I mean, I don't think there's another dominant position group on this roster. So I'm all for adding a player at maybe a position you're not expecting because Jets need to keep building this thing up. I think part of it's that we've been watching just awful teams without talent for so long that we almost get a little content when we see a spot where you have multiple decent players. but you can keep adding. You can keep improving positions. I think that I would not be focused so much on one specific position as I would be just trying to find dominant players, because dominant players have a way of making everybody else better. Next question, John. Tell me that Woody would be okay getting an interim quarterback like Jacoby Brissett while continuing to build through the draft, and that Woody would be okay drafting a new quarterback this year and or next year. I'm positive Woody is meddling and pushing a bad quarterback signing that will push the team back for a few years. Well, I think we're going to find out a lot about how involved Woody is. There have been plenty of rumors about him, his role in the offensive coordinator change that the Jets made. It's difficult to say. As of this time last year, I think it was pretty clear that Joe Douglas was in charge of things, that, you know, he was the one voice guiding the franchise. Obviously, Robert Saleh has a lot to do with that. But, you know, we'll find out, because obviously there are some moves out there that would be very Woody Johnson-esque. You know, Aaron Rodgers is one that's just got Woody Johnson's name all over it. I think if the Jets could get him, I don't think he'd come to the Jets. I think Tom Brady would be another one. If the Jets could get him, I think Woody would love that. I mean, you get the Patriots, you know, iconic quarterback, and he's playing for the Jets now in New York. That's the type of thing Woody Johnson would love. And we know that when Woody gets involved, some rather eventful things happen. I guess we'll put it that way. Now, I don't know. I think that there are scenarios where making a bigger move at quarterback would make sense. I think I've talked about Derek Carr, who... It's not that I love this option, it's just I dislike it less than all the other options, and I think for the Jets, unless you're going to draft a quarterback this year, and even if you are, and you don't really know going in that you're going to be able to draft somebody, I think it makes sense to have a guy who can just buy you some time, a guy who could be a bridge option for your football team, who can just get you a couple of years of solid quarterback play. I mean, I think that above all else is what you need. You have the Aaron Rodgers situation. We'll talk plenty about Aaron Rodgers in the days ahead. I don't think that there's really a plausible way for the Jets to do it unless some radical changes come to the price. I just think the price tag, when we're talking about, first of all, Rodgers' contract, and second of all, I know this has been talked about a lot the last couple of days, but I think, first of all, the contract's too big, and the rumored prices when we're talking multiple first-round picks or even, you know, high day two picks, it's just too high for what you're getting right now. I think we're going to find out. I honestly don't know how much sway Woody Johnson has. I mean, listen, I think it's pretty well documented that he was the driving force behind Brett Favre. It sounds like the people running the Jets at the time, especially Eric Mangini back in 2008, did not want to do it the last time a potential Hall of Fame Green Bay quarterback was on the market, but Woody Johnson kind of pushed it through. I don't know what's going to... I think it'll tell us. I think one thing's pretty clear to me. If the Jets go get Aaron Rodgers, it's time Woody's in charge of the team and Joe Douglas has lost control. And, you know, say what you will about Joe Douglas, and I think that there are increasing amounts of legitimate criticisms on Joe Douglas, because I think there are many areas where he has not done his job well enough. I'd still rather have him in charge than Woody. I mean, that's just me. Our next question, should the Jets buy low and make an offer for Dak Prescott? I don't think Dak Prescott's available. I mean, sure. You know, if the Cowboys pick him available, he'd be better than anybody the Jets have had since Chad Pennington. That much I know. And, you know, Dak Prescott probably gets too much grief when the Cowboys lose in the playoffs. But, I mean, I don't think he's going to be available. But, hey, if by some chance Dallas makes him available, I'd certainly look into it. Now, here on Locked On Jets podcast, we will close out this Wednesday mailbag. We'll talk about areas Robert Saleh can improve next year. I have a few thoughts on that. You'll hear them ahead of here on this Wednesday episode of Locked On Jets. This episode of Locked On Jets is brought to you by FanDuel. The NFL playoffs are here, unfortunately without the Jets, but we are really excited about our new sports betting partner for Locked On because they are the number one sports book in America, FanDuel. And if you are new to FanDuel, that's even better. They have so many great features that make betting on sports fun and easy. New customers can join today and start with $150 in free bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. Just sign up at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. FanDuel has all your favorite bets from the money line to point spreads to player props. Plus, you can even combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout in a same-game parlay, all on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. So football fans, don't miss out. Place your first $5 bet to get $150 in free bets, win or lose, at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. This is the Locked On Jets podcast here on our Wednesday mailbag show. Our next question... How does Robert Saleh need to improve as a coach in order to be successful going forward? Well, the number one thing that comes to mind is, because it's just on the top of everybody's head, is this offensive coordinator search. And I think there's a tendency in the NFL to hire people that you know just because you know them. And it's really tough, because if the Jets don't have a coordinator this week, everybody's going to be freaking out. It's going to be signal. It's going to be talked about as a sign of dysfunction. In any other field outside of sports, a hire this significant would take way more than 2 weeks, because there's so much vetting that you need to do, and you need to figure out whether somebody will work well with you. It's a high-pressure job. It's a high-profile job. It's an important job. And I think that's the reason there's a tendency for coaches to hire people that they know, because you don't really have the time to vet these guys and figure out whether they'd work really well with you. It's just because there's so much pressure to make these hires quick. In fact, I think sometimes these hires are made a little bit too quickly for just that reason. But I think, you know, you look at the reasons the Jets hired Mike LaFleur, I think they were legitimate. I mean, listen, Mike LaFleur was coming off the one of the premier offensive coaching staffs in the league a couple of years ago. But he clearly had very close ties with Robert Saleh. I go back to something I said earlier. You know, Saleh and Nathaniel Hackett have ties too. And I worry that in a situation where maybe Saleh feels like his job is on the line, that is a situation where maybe he circles the wagons a bit and goes with the comfortable, goes with the familiar. And I think that that could potentially be a mistake for him, because, again, I don't want to act like Nathaniel Hackett is the worst coordinator in the world, but of the coordinators the Jets have interviewed, he's probably my least favorite, because I don't see the track record being good. And again, you look at that Denver offense, it was really bad this year. Now, beyond that, I think the Detroit game sticks in my head because of how badly the Jets managed the clock. I think there are some other games where it wasn't so great. I don't think Saleh's as bad as people make him out to be. I mean, I've seen some measures of aggressiveness, and Saleh's rated pretty well then. But I think thinking through how to manage the clock in certain situations would probably help Saleh better. I think the one game where he objectively did poorly was Detroit, and it ended up being a really important game for the Jets this season as they missed the playoffs. So that would, I guess those would be my two areas. But I think, you know, whenever you end the season on a losing streak like the Jets had, you never look good. I don't know that Saleh's as bad as he looked during those six games. So, you know, hopefully the Jets finish stronger next season. And I think that that's another thing, is they need to look at what went wrong this year. They need to figure out why this team struggled so much down the stretch. And, you know, maybe there are things about the way they're training. Maybe there's things that happened in the locker room. And, you know, there's a lot that we're just not given the information on. So, you know, Saleh, I wonder whether there were some contributing factors on the inside that we didn't find out about. And these are things Saleh needs to fix. And our last question: there are lots of draft quote-unquote experts out there. You have Kuiper, McShay, Miller, Brugler. Do you have a preference or a go-to guy that you put above the others? I don't. I kind of try and read them all. I mean, the way I try and do it, and, you know, my draft record, there's some very good pieces of analysis I've done, and there's some really, really bad pieces of analysis that I've done through the years. Generally, what I try and do is I try and watch a couple of games on a player to get my own impressions. And then what I do is I try and read through as many of the scouting reports from these experts as I can, because I want to figure out, because first of all, I don't want their opinions to, like, cloud my judgment. But I also want to see if, like, maybe there's something I missed. And then if, like, I see something that's in a lot of these reports that I missed, then I kind of go back to the tape to see, like, whether I was wrong, whether, you know, whether this kind of illuminated something for me that was there. So that's kind of the way I do it. But I just try and read as many as I can. Mainly, though, I try and come up with my own opinion, though, because, you know, at the end of the day, you know, it's really tough to evaluate these draft prospects. And I think, if you have to trust yourself more than you trust anybody else. I think you can use them to supplement you. I think you can use them as kind of a check, you know, checks and balances against maybe some of your biases. But ultimately, I think you have to come to your own conclusion. So I think they're all kind of interesting. Some have better records than others. But, you know, part of the reason I think it's kind of unfair to judge these draft guys is I've come to believe a lot of the player situation matters in their development. You know, there may be a guy who's a great fit for one team because he fits their system perfectly, because they have the right coaching who can fix technical flaws, and he may be a bad pick in another system. So I think sometimes the analysis on these draft experts is a bit unfair, because they're a guy, it's really difficult to understand the context that the player is going to go into. So anyway, that's something I keep in mind. But that's all for today's episode. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day is our motto. As always, if you enjoy the show, hit the subscribe button where you're watching or listening so that you'll never miss an episode. If you enjoy the show, please give the show a 5-star review if you're listening on a podcast source, or a big thumbs up if you're watching on YouTube. Have a great Wednesday, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow to talk more Jets.